What?
You know, the first thing that popped out of my head, because it's been living in my head rent free, was my coochie pink, my booty hole brown. It literally has been stuck in my head all day. Pound town.
I was telling Dawn about that yesterday because of the BET Awards, because she performed it in the crowd. Like, she wasn't supposed to perform. Yeah. She was just in the crowd singing it, and the audience was singing, but they did it right in front of Bobby Jones, the gospel.
What he do?
He was looking, yes, he was looking disgusted.
Pound town, just left pound town.
I was like, they ought to be ashamed.
I've literally never listened to that whole song. That's funny.
Yeah, me neither.
No class.
I was like, no cooth. No class.
No cooth.
No cooth.
All right. We're here. My coochie pink, my booty hole. No, I'm just playing. Strangers. My booty hole brown. Strangers. Hello. Hello, hello, strangers. Welcome back to another bonus. Wait a minute, hold on, my bad. On my bad. I couldn't steal because I forgot to say who I was. I am the cocoa butter brown, smooth, actively trying to get a fatty Brit.
I was gonna say same, but I'm D.
D, never mind. We ain't gonna get into it. Y'all, D already got a mini fatty, and she be trying to play.
A what?
A mini one.
I don't know what that is.
A mini dump trunk. A mini dump truck. The ones that, so not like a remote control or like a push one that you would push. One that, you know, the little kids, like an electronic one that the kids can. And then. So it's more than, you know, it's more than a lot of us.
I guess.
But we're here. Anywho, yes, we are here. And now, welcome back to a bonus, or welcome, episode of
It's a Strange World After All.
The podcast where we discuss true crime cases, the supernatural, urban legends, conspiracy theories, and all of the things that keep the world strange. However, for today's bonus episode, we are doing movie reviews of the horror, thriller, slasher, and true crime genre. We apologize about last week's episode, but this week you get two. So yeah. We love you. Hopefully. We love you and we appreciate it. The only reason why we wouldn't is if I had to, I need somebody to cash or app me. You think it'll cash app me so I can fix my computer screen. That's what the issue was, because I had to turn off the touch screen. Because it was acting funny. And then the mouse pad wasn't working. And in all of the instructions to fix the issue, they used the touch pad. And touch screen. And I was like, I don't have a way to do it because I turned it off because there's a big crack in my screen. Not because of me. I didn't do it. So, if you love us and you want us, you know, to thrive, my birthday coming up too.
Mine too.
Yes, our birthday. So go ahead, give me a Mac. Just go ahead and splurge if you truly love us.
How you gonna go? How you gonna go from getting your screen fixed to that?
Whole new. I mean, how strange are you? How big of a fan, man, are you? But no, we're here.
That's ridiculous. Yes,
you gotta shoot your shot.
I guess. Okay. A shy young girl by the name of Angela Baker and her cousin Ricky attend summer camp at Camp Arawak. Is that how you say it?
Is that how you say it? Or Arawak?
I don't know.
Whack.
We say I don't whack. Know.
Arawak.
I'm going to say walk.
Okay.
At Camp Arawak. I think I said that right.
Sounded right.
Yeah. Shortly after their arrival, bizarre and violent accidents take the lives of several campers. Who is behind these twisted murders? In today's episode, we...
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, Patrick. In today's episode, we discuss Robert Hiltzik's, I think I said that right, Sleepaway Camp, released November 18th, 1983. I didn't know it was that early in the 80s. I thought it was like it late was. 80s.
Yeah.
It yeah, was. That explains more.
Yes. Yes.
The budget for the film was $350,000, and it grossed a total of $11 million at the box office. So, sheesh. Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. The film made 30 times more than the cost was to make it. This is the director's final film. He was sick during filming and died of lung cancer in August 1983, 3 months prior to the film's release. That's sad.
Sad, but in the horror community, he has a work of art.
Yeah. I'm saying that he didn't get to like enjoy it.
Oh, no, I know.
Enjoy
I
the
know.
Success. Yeah. But I mean, it's a cult classic. So
it is a cult classic. Messed up as it is, but some people believe, what is it calling? Like being immortal in a sense. So, like if someone dies young, then they're remembered forever. Or yeah, their works aren't appreciated until after they pass.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
All I gotta say is, yo, is Angela, what? Why you so fucked up? Is that what you?
I was like, dang, that is messed up. They did not care.
She said, yo, I die. Yo, Angela, why are you so fucked up? I said, I'm gonna start. Yo, D, why are you so...
Oh, my God. I was like, that was just too much. I mean, the whole movie was too much, but...
The whole movie, from start to finish.
Yes. I was like, those kids did not care. Even the babies. I was like, Lord.
The babies. Wait, I didn't put this in here as a fun fact, but I'm going to say it anyway. This is how you know the movie was wild. So the actor that plays Ricky, he, in order, like the reason why he got the part, so in his audition, he had to cuss out the director. That's how he ended up getting the part, because they loved the way that he did it.
I was like, he was going off. He was
going ham, y'all. He was going so ham. I said, oh.
I said, he's up there with like my top. Is he in my top five? Like characters, horror movie characters.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I was like, I love him.
Do we want to get into this? I feel like it's going to be a long episode. Who are your other ones? Or a few of
I don't
of
know.
Your
I have
ones?
To. What's his name? Is his name Roger Brittany? It was this black dude. It's this movie. I don't know if it was the first or the second one. I have to watch. It's called Night of the Demons. He was the only black person in the movie. And every time something happened, he was like, nope. And he just kept on leaving. He was leaving the women.
Oh my
he was like,
God.
Nope, I ain't got time for this. I was like, oh. My God. I want to say his name was Roger.
Okay. For me, what's his name from Scream? Oh, hold on.
The first one?
That Jamie Lee Kennedy, is that his name?
Jamie
Kennedy?
No,
that's not who the... Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah, he was
I'd have merged yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis and Jamie Kennedy together. Girl. yes, his character... was one of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Dr. Loomis.
Yes.
Of course. Brandy, and I Know What You Did Last Summer, too. Teaser there for you. I don't know why. She didn't even really do nothing. It's just because I was like, Brandy! Slasher film! Black people didn't die first! There was just so much about that movie that I love.
Yeah. I can see that. I gotta see now. I really have to think because I only gave you two.
Because I would say someone from It, but then I love all the kids from, especially the reboot. I thought all of them did a really good job.
Yes, they did. Mm. But what's his name? He was funny. The one from Stranger Things.
So yeah, then he would be. He would be. Because I couldn't think of his name, but y'all know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sleepaway Camp. We've been waiting. We've been building up. I feel like we've been building up to this point.
Man, I was like, Brittany, you have to watch this movie.
Man.
Because I remember I was shook when I first saw this movie. I was like, what in the world?
What's crazy, and for anyone who has yet to see this, spoiler alert,
spoiler 83.
but she was like, yeah, you need to see this. And what happened was I started it, but I fell asleep on it the first time I tried to watch it. And she was like, no, you have to finish. Somebody else was like, oh, did you not get to the end? And I was like, no. They was like, it's probably one of the best endings in like horror history. And I said, y'all are selling this pretty high. But it lived up to the hype for me. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
It lived up to the hype.
Good.
Man.
Cult classic.
Oh man, cult classic. I'm here. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid officially.
Good. At least you agree on one movie I like. Because you be giving me a hard time for People Under the Stairs.
No! We're going to watch it again. We'll do it. We'll review it. And now I'll actually really engage. It's just because I really was like, I don't remember this. And what the fuck is this? What is happening? What is happening?
That one was a lot too. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was. But okay, before we get into this, spoilers, this is the synopsis. So like Dee said, the film is a cult classic. It didn't really do well with the film critics when it came out. They said it too closely mirrored films like Friday the 13th. And I guess it's because like it's a slasher film and
camp,
they were at camp. Yeah. However, like Dee said, in the years since the movie was released, it has become a cult classic. Like they do the conventions. What are their names? Hold on. The lady that played Angela.
Oh, Felissa Rose.
Is that how you say her name?
Yeah.
Okay, Felissa Rose, and then Karen Fields is often seen at like horror conventions or horror movie conventions like around the world. So,
and there is one going on now, the one I wanted to go to in Long Beach.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry, you didn't want to go to Freaky D here with me. Said I won't be
Freak
going
Nick.
To that. No, Freaky.
You talking about Freak Nick?
No.
Oh, I was like,
no,
what?
Freaky Deaky. It is a horror convention. I think it happens in October. I think it's the one that's in Austin. I think. Hold on. Let me look it up real quick.
Maybe it was the name that threw me off.
She was like, I will not be going to that. Yeah, Freaky Deaky. Freaky Deaky in Austin, Texas. Oh, it's a music festival. But I wonder if they have like people there doing autographs and stuff like that. So it is. Well, maybe this is interesting. Hold on. I thought it was a horror convention. Halloween weekend, two nights. Oh, boo. I'm going to try to find. There was another one that my friend went to like last month. And that's where he met them again and got their autographs signed. I'm going to get the name of it because Freaky Deaky is a music convention. I apologize.
Okay.
Okay. Let's get into it. Getting into the movie, the opening credits. I personally love the opening credits. There wasn't like much going on, but I like the cinematography of the closed down summer camp in the fall. And that's the camp. What do we say? Arawak?
Arawak.
Arawak.
Yeah.
Hopefully we don't got to say that again. Arawak. Camp Arawak. I thought that was really cool. Also, fun fact, those opening shots were filmed at a camp. It was a camp that the director, Robert, had gone to as a child.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, that was the filming location. So yeah, they filmed on location where he used to go to camp. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I always thought camp was only like in movies. I didn't know it was like real life. Because I'm like, Fox. Who do you know that went to camp?
My ex actually went to summer camp. So technically we went to like Bible camp, but not like sleepaway camp. Like we went to like day camp, but not sleepaway camp.
Still.
Shut up. I grew up in the suburbs. So yes, we went to like the recs during the day, like day camp.
That's not camp though, because I did that.
Oh, well. That's considered like camp though, ish. Mm-hmm. But then I didn't go to camp. Anyway, I know someone who actually went to sleepaway camp. A black person that actually went to sleepaway camp. Because I was like, I always wanted to go after I saw It Takes Two. What's the one with Lindsay Lohan? Parent Trap. Mm-hmm. Parent Trap. I was like, I want to go to, because I was obsessed with twins too. I was like, I want to go to summer camp and meet my long lost twin.
Lord.
But never happened.
No, I never thought it was like real. And then how I found out camp was real, this is pretty dark, but because, you know, I've always watched like true crime stuff. There was not Girl Scouts. Did they call them Girl Scouts? But it was like a camp where some guy killed all the little girls.
Oh, at the my camp gosh. In Oklahoma.
Yeah. Well,
I've never done that.
I have it on my list. I just haven't gotten to it yet. But yeah, that's how I was camp? And I was like, wait, this is, people actually go to camp?
What did you think? It was just like a fictional thing, but they had all these movies where Camp Rock, Science Camp. Camp Rock. Somebody was singing a song from there. I was like, I did not mess with Camp Rock like that. I was High School Musical over here, cuz we ain't gonna get into it.
Yeah, I'm too old for
you are already onto other things.
Yes.
But
yes.
Okay, so the film opens up. It is the summer of 1975. We see a family with the divorcee John Baker, played by Dan Tursey, I think is how you, we're going to say that's how you say that. And his two children, Angela and Peter, out on a lake near a summer camp in upstate New York. The kids, in quotations, accidentally flips the small boat, even though she did that on purpose. Angela.
Yeah.
Because he was like, what are you guys doing? Oh, you guys think you're, or what do you say? You guys think you're selective.
Honestly, I was not paying attention to that because I was distracted. I didn't know where it was in New York because I was like, where are they from? Because they had some thick accents.
Oh,
the
they
kids.
Did.
I was distracted by their accents.
Yeah. It's New York. Oh,
that didn't seem like a New York accent to me, but they were kids. Because I was like, is that how they really talk, or is this acting? Or, you know.
They might have been acting if they weren't from New York.
Oh, that's what they think New Yorkers sound like.
Yeah, to them.
Because I got Boston. But
I mean, tomato, tomato. It's still like very, like Boston, New Jersey, New York, Philadelphia. To me, they kind of all sound
true. True. But yeah, that distracted me.
Everything about this scene distracted me. So the fall, because you could tell he jumped into the water, the dad. Like, it was so fake. I was like, oh my God, because the little girl literally just walked over there and like placed her hand, and he was like, oh. So that got to me. So the kids and the dad are now in the water. Then you see, which you saw them earlier, the three teenagers, two are driving. Marianne and Craig, they're pulling the water skier, and then Dolores is on the back of the, right? Or did I say that backwards?
Yeah, Dolores is the water skier.
Okay, yeah, she's on the back skiing, doing her water skiing, which she didn't seem to be enjoying. She was like, y'all, can we be done? Because I think I've had enough. You see Lenny, played by James Paradise. He's like, hey, come on, let's go. Like, we got stuff to do. And the dad's not, John is not paying attention. The girl, Marianne, is like, can I drive the boat? And for whatever reason, hormones, I guess, I don't know, he let her drive this boat. They are not paying attention. She kicks it up in the gear when she should be slowing down. And Dolores is like, oh my God, no, my God. She was like, don't hit him.
She was stressed.
I'm handing out Oscars to everybody. The whole cast just finna sweep the Oscars. She was stressed. But before they can notice, before Mary and Craig could fix it, there's an accident. You see the little kid, Peter. He's drowning. Then you see the dad dramatically floating in the water with his face down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the little life jacket float up. And it's a travesty, a tragedy that happened. The survivor, you find out, ends up being Angela, the little girl. And she is sent to live with her very eccentric aunt, Dr. Martha Thomas, played by Desiree Gold, and Martha's son, Richard, a.k.a. Ricky Thomas, the one that cussed out the director. So the mom was very eccentric. I mean, the aunt was very eccentric. I was like, why is she talking like that? This just won't do. I was like, is she being serious?
She reminds me of, so I shouldn't even be speaking on this because I'm not an actor or actress, but she's, you know how you have the people that start out in like theater and then they go to movies? Does that make sense?
No, I know, because you act different for the stage than you have to be way more dramatic on the stage than you do on film.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
She was kind of, oh my, this just what to do. I was like, oh my God.
Man, I remember when I first saw that, I was like, what is she? Because like, she's the only person in the movie that acted like that.
Because
I'm like, I know
person.
She's supposed to be eccentric, but still.
She was very eccentric. Wait, also, I'm sorry. What also bothered me about the previous scene when they had the accident was they drove past them. They passed by them before the teenagers did. So did they just not see them, or had their boat moved, John and the kids?
Maybe it moved because the whole thing is they weren't paying attention, because I know they were kind of going back and forth, because at first he didn't want to let her drive the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably wasn't really paying attention, obviously. Yeah, I don't even know if they realized they passed them up or... did they see them? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I just know they'd show them standing near the shore on the little sailboat. Then they show them passing right by them to take her out. And I was like, okay. That's okay, though. Yeah. You got to suspend. You got to, you know, you just let it go. This is TV.
Yeah. So now it's 8 years later. It's 8 years after John and Peter's deaths. So Angela, she's 14 now. She's played by Felissa Rose. And Ricky is 15, and he's played by Jonathan Tiersten. I think that's how you say it. And Martha sends them to Camp Arawak.
Ah, you did have to say it one more time. Sorry.
Dang it. Arawak. But she's telling them, like, because I guess since camp was a real thing, you had to get physicals before you go. So she was just reminding them not to tell people how they got their paperwork. So foreshadowing.
I did not even catch that the first time that I watched it. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Because she's like making it a point to tell them, like, don't tell anybody how y'all got these signatures. Like,
oh, yeah. Got your physical.
So. So back at the camp, the buses are starting to pull up, and this pervert named Artie. He's the cook, the head cook. He's played by Owen Hughes. He's like, this is disgusting. He's like looking at these little girls and he's calling them baldies. And I'm like, that is disgusting.
I just said, Artie needs to be in somebody's prison. How he get a job at the camp? He probably was an ex-convict.
Him and the other one. Well, we'll get to that later.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, what? Ew.
Yeah, what? And then what was the, black dude? I think his name comes up. I didn't like his character. And I didn't like his response to that because he was like, girls don't know what you talking about. That's literally how it came across. And I was like, I don't like that, sir. He needs to be reported.
But yeah, I think that was like, again, a setup.
Yeah. Oh, I get what you're saying. So as to not empathize with him, like you want to feel, okay, justified. Gotcha.
Yeah. Ricky, he's introducing Angela to his best friend, Paul, played by Christopher Collette. And Ricky was there last summer, so he's showing Angela, you know, the camp. And Paul is trying to talk to her, but she's not saying anything. Like, she's not talking at all.
Yo, Angela.
And so he finished showing her around, and Ricky, he's talking to Judy, played by Karen Fields, and this is his ex. They dated the year before when they were at camp together, but she's acting like she didn't know him, basically.
And who are you? No. First of all, I watched this with my best friend, Trish, and we literally kept talking about how old she looked. I said, first of all, she don't even need to be at camp with them. This is a woman. She is in her 30s, at least.
She didn't look old to me.
She looks so old to me. She looked too old to be talking to Ricky or Paul.
I don't know. I guess I wasn't paying attention. I was distracted by her hair. Like
That's what made her look older to me. She just looked old in the face. She was the only one with breasts.
I think they did that to, like, she's grown up over the summer and she's like the only one. And yeah. Cause you see how they was all over her, both Paul, he was kind of getting on my nerves a little bit, but cause he was kind of even back and forth between her and Angela. And then I'm like, that's your best friend's ex. We ain't get into that.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. She did look old to me. We both was like, she looked too old to be with these kids. She graduated already.
She probably was older than them. Like, for real. We've seen Grease.
Yeah, so. That's true. Okay, so literally the whole time while at camp, they are messing with Angela. They are bullying Angela. Because she's introverted, she's shy, she doesn't talk. I don't know why that bothered them so much, but they wanted the beef. They wanted all the smoke from Angela.
They were some haters. I was like, she ain't even doing nothing to nobody.
Judy hating that. Judy. And then Meg came out of nowhere. Meg played by Catherine Cammy, I think is how you say that. You're supposed to be a camp counselor. You're supposed to make the children feel safe. She was hating. So they show a scene where they're sitting down and they're supposed to be eating. And Angela has not eaten for days. Meg is like, when was the last time you ate? Why don't you talk? Girl, get your life. And the head counselor, Ronnie, played by Paul D'Angelo, he comes over and he's like, you know, like, what's going on? She's like, she won't eat. And he's like, well, maybe she just doesn't like the food. Let me take her back to the kitchen and see if we can find her something to eat. Which Ronnie from the beginning scene, I forgot his short, was he had the original Hoochie Daddy shorts. The original Daddy shorts. I said, oh my God.
That's hilarious.
I posted it on Instagram. I said, somebody, come look at this.
Man, couldn't tell him nothing.
No, I was like, he should not be around children like this. But anywho.
Oh, man.
So in the kitchen, Ronnie, talks to Artie, the pervert, and is like, hey, she hasn't eaten. Maybe you can find her some food. And then he ends up getting a call. Ronnie ends up getting a call, and he leaves Angela with Artie the perv. And Artie takes Angela into like a back, like pantry, like a back room. Trigger warning, he makes a pass at Angela. He's in the act of unbuttoning his pants because he's like, ah, she doesn't talk. And Ricky comes in and he's like, what are you doing? Like, Artie basically like snatches him up, threatens him. And, you know, Ricky's a kid still. So he's like, look, I'm not going to tell anybody. Just let us go. So they run out of the kitchen. Then they run past Mel. Yeah. They ran past somebody because they kind of just was like, oh.
Yeah. Was it the black?
Or was it the black dude?
Because I know.
Was it Mel?
It was one of them. I know. I remember what you're talking about. It was one of them.
Wait a minute then, too, because Artie came out and he was literally fastening his buckle. And they never noticed it. Like, it was like, what's wrong with them? You coming out fastening and then you're buckling. You like, I don't know. Kids will be like something like that. And I was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
After that happens, then Artie is about to boil some corn. He about to boil a whole bucket of a big ass bucket of maize. It's like you could stick a human in the pot. An unseen figure is watching him and then walks up to him and then like pushes him or like pulls the step stool that he's standing on. And he's like, wait, he recognizes the figure because he's like, hey, like, you need to chill, like, calm down. The figure pushes him into the pot, falls over, water spills. Skin is a blistering, son.
Yes.
Blistering. Great special effects for the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they cart him off in the ambulance. He's dying. He's literally dying. You don't feel bad for him because he's a pedophile and a pervert.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Kostick is the owner of the camp, and he's played by Mike Kellen. He was literally just like, well, this is just an accident. Like, and he pretty much pays the rest of the kitchen staff. He gives the black dude, that's his name, Ben, played by Robert Earl Jones. Is he related to...
James Earl Jones.
Because
when I was watching it, I was like, he kind of looked like James Earl Jones, but
he
I didn't know his name.
Like James Earl Jones.
Hold on. I didn't know his name, so I never really looked it up. But let's see.
I think so.
James Earl. Wait, what was his name?
Robert Earl Jones.
I know that's his. According to this, that's his daddy.
Yeah, I saw that one.
But this doesn't have him in Sleepaway. Oh. But I guess, what?
That's him, though. I was going to say, it does say that that's his son. That he was born in 1910 and passed away in 2006. And that he has Matthew Earl Jones and James Earl Jones.
Hmm. Look at us. Because I was like, the first time I saw it, I was like, who does he look like? But I couldn't get it. And then when I rewatched it, I was like, oh, he looks like James Earl Jones. So that's his dad.
Yes. I was just so distracted by him that I was like, why did he have to play it like this? Sounding like an old slave. I didn't.
He was old. Maybe that's just how he talk.
Maybe. I didn't like it, but whatever. It's the 80s. We know what it is. We know what it is when it comes to black folks in film.
Unfortunately. Except for, what did I say his name was? Robert.
Oh, yeah.
That might have been 90s, though. Anyway.
I was going to say. But yeah, his assistant cook, Ben, played by Robert Earl Jones, he gives him a promotion, basically pays him off to keep quiet and not to tell anybody else or the campers.
Yeah. He told him to tell him, like, what did he tell? Oh, that he got another job or something.
Yeah, yes.
What I don't understand, this is like a small camp. I feel like that would have got out. I don't know. Oh, I guess
not unless he moved the campers, like, because, I guess they would have heard the ambulance coming, but I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah.
Good question.
This is TV. Damn it.
Oh, man. The next day, Ricky, Paul, and the other boys in their cabin, including Mozart, played by Willie Cuskin, are playing baseball with Kenny, played by John Dunn, Mike, played by Tom Vandale, and Billy, played by Loris Salahian, and the rest of the boys from the other cabin. Ricky, he won. Kenny, he's talking with Mike about how to basically get back at Ricky. These kids are some haters.
They are haters. They are haters.
Man.
I said they were cracking me up in that scene because of their accents. Hey, bada, 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 bada. Oh, come on, Ricky. Like, I was like, oh, my God.
And then there was a little bit of homophobia in there, like sprinkled in there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the 80s. They were wild, man.
Yeah, because I was like, what in the world? Because when he told him to go F a man, I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Those kids were wild.
They were tripping.
Talking about our generation. What? Yes.
And childish, because the little prank they did to Mozart. I was like, what was the point of all that? Gave that long speech.
I forgot about that.
Yes. Later that night in the recreation cabin, I guess it was like a dance, Angela, this was so messed up. So she's just minding her business, and here comes Kenny and Mike. And we're not laughing at the bullying. We're just laughing because it was just,
they
it's
wild.
Just messed up.
That's why I'm laughing.
Yeah.
Because they wild.
Because like they were just outright with it. They did not care. They were making fun of her for not talking.
She was minding her own business, too.
She was minding her own business. What did he say, Brittany? Because I know that's your...
Yo, Angela, why are you so fucked up?
I said, Lord,
she was not doing anything.
She was literally just sitting there.
Jesus. Yeah.
I clutched my invisible pearls. I was like, wait a minute. So then, of course, Ricky, he jumps in because he's, you know, protecting his cousin. And then they basically jumped him. I was like, what? I was like, is this what was going on at these camps back in the day? So, yeah, they jumped Ricky. Oh, so that was basically set up to get back at Ricky. Because one thing about Ricky, he was going to protect Angela. He was gone.
He was a ride or die for sure.
He was fighting his wife the whole time. Mm-hmm. Yes. So the fight is broken up by one of the camp counselors, Gene, played by Frank Trent Saladino. Yeah, he broke up the fight. And then everybody leaves. But Paul, he stays behind and he's trying to talk to Angela. You know, telling her about, you know, all the stuff him and Rick used to do last year and this and that. But she's still not saying anything. And so he's like, okay, good night. And then she told him good night. And he just...
Good night. Turned around.
Lost his mind.
Good night.
It was just, everything was so dramatic.
It was.
Because even like down to the music they were playing, I was like... Everything.
We were cracking up.
Man.
Like, dang.
Man.
So that same night, some of the camp bullies, including Billy, Kenny, and Mike, decide that they are going to go skinny dipping. You see them talking to like a group of girls trying to convince them, like, come on, bro. And they're like, ew, no, we don't like y'all. Get somebody else to do it. And so it becomes a sausage fest.
Mm-mm, get somebody else to do it. you know that sound on TikTok?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I was like, man.
So yeah, it becomes a sausage fest. They you see Kenny and Mike smoking weed. After they smoke weed, they're trying to still convince the girls to go back in the water with them, and they're like, mm-mm, get Leslie to do it. I don't know why they wanted to get Leslie to do it. I don't know if Leslie is supposed to be like easy or if Leslie was actually his girlfriend. Because I saw somewhere that Leslie was allegedly Kenny's girlfriend. But I was like, why was he trying to get other girls to come with him in the first place if that was his woman? I don't know. I ain't going to ask no questions.
Man.
But they're like, get Leslie to do it. So him and Leslie are out rowing at night, dark. I don't know why. And he rocks the boat, Kenny does, and then he overturns the boat as a prank that he thought it was funny. And Leslie is like, F you. And she swims away. And then Kenny is still under the boat when, again, you see someone's head kind of comes up from the water. And he is drowned by this person. And the boys leave without Kenny. Sorry, Kenny, RIP. They go back, they leave him out. And in the morning, one of the counselors finds Kenny's horrific, already decomposing body with a little snake running through.
Oh, no.
Water snake running through it. And again, the ever responsible camp owner, male, emphasis on responsible, is like, well, this was an accident too. This is an accident too. And Ronnie, the other one, Shorty Shorts McGee, was like, I don't know. I think we should do something. Even the cop is kind of like, was also suspicious.
Yeah.
The cop, Frank, is played by Alan Britton.
Yeah, male. He was like, what's his name? The Tiger King, when he was like, I'm never going to recover financially from this. That's how he was thinking, because he,
he was
trying to cover everything up.
I said he was trying way too hard to keep this camp open. Why? He probably did put all his little gambling investments into this one.
Yeah.
This one, the camp. Close it. It should have been closed. By this one, it should have been closed, because that was a kid that passed. So,
yep. Later that day, Angela, she walks up to Paul and they start talking, and they're watching the other girls playing volleyball, and Judy is being a bitch. She's irritated wild for no reason. Yes.
Old ass.
Judy is pressed. So here comes Meg, the other one of the camp counselors. And she's basically telling Angela she either has to participate or do nothing. And then she made a comment about her talking to boys.
She was like, you can't just stay here and talk to boys. If you're not going to participate, you need to go. Why?
Hater.
I paid my eccentric aunt paid my money. I don't have to do none of this. If I don't want to, respectfully.
Oh, man. That evening, Paul and Angela, they went to the rec room to watch a movie, and then they're leaving, and they're like holding hands. Paul got him his little girlfriend, and then he just kissed her out of nowhere. Again, the music.
The music.
Man, that... I was like, who picked the music for this movie? Because they were on point. But then he was like, I mean, he asked, could he kiss her again? But then she left.
He should have asked the first time, sir.
Yeah.
You teach a little thing about consent.
Yeah.
Sir.
I feel like maybe he realized that and then... Or that's what I would like to think. And then...
Oh, that's why he asked.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't have done that. No, you shouldn't have, sir. If she wasn't talking, what makes you think she would go from not talking to kissing? Like...
Oh, true. I guess he figured since they were holding hands, but still. Yeah.
Consent is sexy.
Yeah.
So... Next day, Paul, he's sitting by Angela. Some of the campers are in the lake swimming. And Paul is like, hey, what's up? What are you doing? And she's like, I'm not getting in the water. I can't get in the water. And Meg is hating again. And Meg come up there and Paul just dips. He was like, I'm
see you later. He did.
It's like, this is a girl fight. I'm not in it. So he leaves. And then Meg, again, being a bitch, is like, are you going to swim? And Angela is savage. She did not say a thing. She was just looking at her like,
I know.
Like, I'm sick of this. I'm sick. What's up? And so she looking at her, she looking at her, they looking at each other. And Meg gets mad and she accosted Angela. She physically assaulted, like shook her and was like, what the f*** is wrong with you, Angela? And
man.
Ronnie comes up, swoops in, saves the day and is like, bro, you need to chill. You need to chill and leave Angela alone. So that night, I guess, you know, they pent up energy. Judy and Meg is, you know, they with it. They with the shits. They is upset. And Judy, wait a minute. Was this a scene when Judy was staring? I mean, Angela was staring at Judy. Or was this when Judy just came out of nowhere with beef? Because she was like, what are you looking at? Do you remember that? She was like, what are you looking at? And Angela was just looking. Or was that the first time they were in that room?
I think it was the first time.
Oh, well, okay. So Judy now, again, yes. So they just pent up energy towards her because Angela really wasn't doing nothing. And then Judy just was like coming at her. Oh, yeah. She came at her because she thought she got Meg into trouble. Well, she assumed that she was the reason.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Sorry. That Meg got in trouble. But Meg did that to herself. And
yes.
She was like, I'm sick of you. And then... again, it's about to get really a little homophobic or, you know, just kind of like cringy towards. Yeah. And Judy is like making fun of Angela and she's like, why won't you go swimming? And why don't you take a shower with the rest of us? You always take showers by yourself and you don't change clothes. And she's like insinuating things. And then she insinuates something about her not hitting puberty.
Yeah, and then again, that was a foreshadowing too.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
And again, Angela is like silent. But I thought somebody kind of, what's that other counselor's name?
The one with the blonde hair?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because we didn't get to her yet. Because that's not when she, slapped Judy, right? It was later. Or was it this time?
Her name is Susie. She's played by Susan Glaze. And I said that might have been a little bit later.
Okay. Later that day, Angela, she was hit in the face with a water balloon by Billy and his friends. They were on the roof just throwing water balloons at people. And Mel catches them and then he's like telling Billy that he's grounded for the rest of the summer. And again, here comes Ricky taking up for Angela and he's telling her, he's yelling like, I'll kill him. Later that day, Billy's friends, they went to play basketball and he stayed in the cabin and he goes to the restroom to take a wicked dump. And an unseen person locks him in the stall and they cut the screen, well, the screen behind Billy, and they had a beehive full of bees and they put it in the stall with Billy. He ends up being stung to death by the bees. And when Mel heard about Billy's death, he's more worried about the camp being shut down. And he starts to suspect Ricky, thinking that Ricky is killing anybody who bullied Angela. Because everybody that's died has done something to Angela.
Okay, so a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is messed up of me, but I was cracking up when she got hit with that water balloon. Because she literally just laid on the ground. She literally was just like... She didn't say nothing. She didn't scream. She didn't let out a cry. She literally just took it and was like, I was like, this is a water balloon. Granted, they were on the roof, so I don't know if it hurt more because they were on the roof. Science-wise, probably. Mathematically speaking, probably. That I thought was funny. And then, yeah, the way that Ricky was acting, he was like, I'm going to kill you. You got this. Sort of a squack, racking, sacking, fracking, sacking, racking, fracking, sacking. Phil's flarn, Phil.
Man.
And Mel was looking at him like, he was going to have, and then Mel was looking at him like, Lord Jesus.
And see, so should I say this for the end? Because I was going to say, I feel like, I don't know if they meant to do this, but I obviously the killer was one of them. But it was like, yeah. I just kept going back and forth, like, no, it's Angela. Then I'm like, no, it's Ricky. And then I'm like, well, maybe they together, maybe they killing people together. I was like, I don't know. But what, sorry. No, I was going to say, but I couldn't figure out which one it was.
I did not suspect Angela until there was like, maybe it was about halfway. Because I was like, okay, maybe it is Ricky. But then I was like, that feels too obvious. And I was like, well, it could be Angela. But then I was like, but then some of the way that they shot the scenes, I was like, well, how could it be Angela? Something made me think like, okay, well, how could it be Angela? I don't remember.
Oh,
after the first scene happened, with the pervert.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was any of them. And then when Ricky was going ham, I was like, okay, this has to be Ricky because he keep going ham. But then I was like, well, maybe this is just a ruse. Maybe it's like Friday 13th. Maybe, what's her name? Martha. Martha gonna come out of nowhere and be like, this is no good. We got options. We got options here.
Good old Martha.
Good old Martha. And then, yes, Mel is finally kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of caring a little bit, but they still ain't shut it down.
Yeah, because I had said that he was more worried about his camp being shut down than what was actually going on.
Baby.
Why are you still running this camp?
And that camp should have been closed after the first death. Like, sorry. I'm so sorry.
Well, I mean, I can kind of see why they didn't close it after Artie, because that did look like an accident.
Oh, not Artie. Artie die? I don't think Artie died.
I don't think he died.
So, yeah, the first death.
Yeah, okay. Oh, when the boy drowned.
Yes, yeah. Because that's traumatic. That's, like, even if this was not sleepaway camp, you're at regular camp, a child drowns and dies, mm-hmm. I don't want to stay at that summer camp. Take me home. Let me go home.
Yeah.
Later on, Angela and Paul, they're at the beach. They're having a good time. It's a beautiful music is playing. The ambience is just right. They're running around, you know, being flirty. You get to see a little playful side of Angela. And she's with the kiss now. So they're like, you know, kissing, you know, making out, doing what teenagers do. But Paul tries to get a little frisky. He tries to, you know, touch a Tia and Tamaris. She's like not with it. She gets mad again. Consent. You also see a little flashback from when she was younger, and she's with her brother Peter from the beginning of the movie, and they see her dad John with Lenny, the little partner that was like, hey, come on. So you find out that her dad is gay in the 80s. This is 83. And so Angela, I guess, I don't know, like, if that, yeah, I don't know what that essentially did to her seeing that. I don't know. But she reacts. She's like, get off of me. And she runs away. The following day, Paul, he feeling some type of way. He is hurt. He is shook by Angela's rejection. And the Judy, little fast ass, come up. And she's like, I don't know why you want Angela anyway. And I'm here. Look at me. I have chichis. I got tatas. They're supposed to be playing like this huge game of capture the flag, but Judy convinces Paul, like, hey, let's do something else. Let's go into the woods and do something else. So in the woods, Angela convinces Ricky, like, hey, because Angela's like, I don't want to play. I don't want to do this. And Ricky is like, well, come on. Like, I have a way where we can just do this and win. And then the game will be over. And Angela's like, okay, whatever. So they like take a cut through the woods. And Ricky is talking about that he had noticed him and Angela. I mean, Paul and Angela. And like being like, hey, you know, don't trust him. Like, watch out. As they're talking, they walk up on Paul and Miss Judy. And they are kissing. They're making out. And Angela's like, oh, my God. She didn't say, oh, my gosh. But, you know, she was shook. And she runs away. Paul feels bad and he tries to explain, like, to Angela, like, basically, like, you weren't trying to give me no play, and then Judy was being thirsty, so I decided to take a little drink. And Angela's just like, I'm not having it. I don't want to talk to you, you heartbreaker, dream taker. Don't mess around with me.
So he tries to talk to Angela again later that same day, but here comes Judy and May. He just got up and left again.
I'm out.
Man, was it Meg? Yeah, it was Meg that picked her up. So Meg picks up Angela and threw her in the water. The lifeguard, Hal, played by Mike Mahone, is like, he went, you know, he saved her and he's walking her, you know, back to the land. And then these kids, these little kids, are like throwing sand at her. As she's, I'm like, what? I'm like, the babies, they, man.
It's learned behavior.
Yeah. Because I'm like, why? They just do not care. They was really throwing that sand at her, too. I was like, Ricky, again, is taking up for her. And he's trying to, you know, comfort her. But he's still, like, making threats, though. So he's looking even more suspicious.
Man.
Yeah.
Going off.
So then here we get to the other pervert. So Mel, the one who's over the camp, yeah, he's getting ready for a date with Meg.
And I'm like, why? Which she
because
could very well
the
be.
Camp, she could have been 18, but still, because the counselors are older. But yeah, still, he looked like he was about 60.
Girl.
Probably older than that.
He was too old for her.
Yeah. But Mel, she's taking a shower, so she's getting ready for the date. That's when she's in the shower and she gets her back sliced open. I was like,
she got her back blown out. Literally. No, I'm just kidding. Dang.
Oh, man. And nobody even noticed she was missing. Nobody. Angela, she's approached by Paul again because he's still trying to apologize. And then she was just like, yeah, meet me after the social, basically. So that's why I was like, was there another dance? What is a social? That's a dance, right?
It's like a dance, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then she just runs off.
Yeah, but yeah, nobody cared. Nobody. Meg died and nobody cared. Like literally, because she was like, I'm just going to go take a shower. They knew she was just going to go take a shower and she didn't come back. And it was her night off, so where the hell are you?
Yeah, but then they probably thought, because she did tell them that she had a date, so they probably thought she was on her date.
She did.
She just didn't tell them who it was with. Yeah.
Okay, so remember the kids that was throwing sand at Angela? So they are taken camping with Counselor Eddie, played by Freddie Green. They're out there trying to survive in these harsh summer conditions, I guess. And they were like, this is not, we feel sick.
This ain't
it. No, it wasn't harsh. I think it was what they ate. I think maybe something that they ate. And they were like, we don't feel good. Take us back. And so Eddie leaves the other kids there and takes them back to the camp. When he arrives back at the camp, it is a horrendous scene. The other four children that were sleeping in their sleeping bags has been torn to pieces, hacked to pieces with Eddie's axe that he left. I don't know why he left it now that I think about it.
Oh, that is a good question. Yeah.
Yes. I wouldn't have left that with, even if I thought that they were sleeping, I wouldn't have left that with them.
Yeah.
But yeah, and you see the axe is dripping with blood. Around the same time in a different scene, you see Mike is with Judy because Judy's hormones are raging because she's in her 40s, I'm sure. she is with Mike. They're making out. And then Mel comes because he's like, where the heck is Meg? And Mike hides while Mel and Meg Judy are talking. It's like, I don't know. I haven't seen her. She took a shower. Whatever. Get out. And then Mel leaves and Mike, I guess maybe that kind of scared him a bit because he was like, actually, I'm going to leave. and Mike leaves. Next scene, you see Mel. He goes to the shower where Meg is, finds her dead body, and is enraged. And he's like, I'm coming for Ricky.
Man, listen,
enraged.
This whole move is just inappropriate.
Oh my gosh.
Man. Sir, how old are you? Old enough to be her granddaddy?
Old enough to be her granddaddy. And then just his reaction, just like his reaction, like you can tell he was hurt. He was like, I'm mad. I'm like, he was. This motherfucker. He's out for vengeance. He's out for blood.
Oh, man. That's crazy. And then still, Ricky. He out to get Ricky. So now Judy, she goes back to the cabin, to the girl's cabin, and she's killed. So an unseen killer. Because, yeah, that caught me off guard because the killer punched the mess out. I was like,
knocked her out.
Whoa.
Full force. Yes. Like.
So then the killer covers her face with a pillow and trigger warning because Judy was in there like curling her hair. So she had like a hot curling iron. So the killer puts the curling iron inside of Judy.
That's what
the hot curling iron
led to believe because they don't actually show it. But
they don't show it.
You see like
God.
The shadow and then like her response.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, even Judy didn't deserve that. She was terrible.
Man.
She was terrible. She deserved that punch. She deserved to get punched in the damn face. She did.
Yeah. I mean, she had already got slapped by the camp counselor.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. After the social, it's just chaos because Eddie came back and he told the counselors that, you know, the four kids had been killed. So Ricky... he didn't go to the social because he was saying he was sick. Mm-hmm. He overheard them talking. And then Mel, he goes up to him and he like accused him of killing Meg and everybody else. And he beat the mess out of Ricky. He was like, enraged.
He was wailing on him. I was like, this is a child.
He was.
Sir?
I know. And for him to be that old, he was hanging in. He was really...
And I hit him again. Jeez Louise. Bad seed reference.
So he beat him unconscious. That's how bad it was. And he gets up and then he shot in the throat with an arrow. But he saw who it was, though.
Yes.
It was giving me Walking Dead vibes. You remember when she got hit in the eye in mid sentence, got hit in the eye with that arrow?
That.
Yeah.
Yes, I
That's
remember
what
that.
It reminded me of.
Oh my gosh. I was like, I literally was like in it to win it. I was like, oh my God. Cause I remember it happening and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, did not see that coming.
This ending is just like boom, 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 boom. Clutch your pearls. There's so much happening. So Mel is, he's gone. Ricky is beat up. Ronnie, the other camp counselor, Mr. Shorty Shorts, finally is like, this has gotten out of control. We cannot handle this. He calls the police. He tells Marie, played by Dee Dee Friedman, to get all the counselors. He has like a meeting. He tells them, look, it's some stuff going on. There's a murderer on the loose. We need to round up all of the campers and we need to get everybody in one place until the police arrive. So the counselors scatter to get everybody together. The police show up and then we see Angela and Paul. They finally meet on the beach. So they are unaware to the chaos that's happening. So I don't know what has gotten into Angela. But Angela is like with it. You know, they feeling good. She's like, I just want you to get naked. Get naked, Paul. So Paul is like, hey, I'm about to get naked. And he, you know, gets naked. And then switch to another scene. You see Ronnie and Marie. They find Meg dead. They find Mel dead. And then Frank, the cop, and Gene find Ricky, who is barely hanging on. He is hanging on to his life. Gene carries Ricky to the ambulance. And then Frank is like, I don't know what's going on, but we need backup. We need backup. 4914 backup. I don't know what that is. Yeah. I just said 4914.
And then Ronnie and Susie, played by Susan Glaze, the one that slapped Judy.
Yes.
They find Angela nude on the beach and she's singing and she's holding a knife. And she also has Paul's severed head in her hands. And this is when we figure out that the killer is actually Angela.
Angela, why are you so fucked up?
Okay, so this scene, so Angela is a killer, but she's also look at your face. She is also a boy. I was shook. She's actually Peter, who they thought died in the beginning. So the scene of her, I was like, first of all, why is her mouth open? And then, because I was like, oh, it didn't get to that part yet. So we see her standing there. Because, I mean, it shows her that she's a boy, but we didn't get to the background yet.
Right.
So we go to the flashbacks and Martha, Martha, Martha. So
Martha, Martha, she, Martha.
after she got custody, they're showing how she's talking to him. And she's like, oh, another boy just won't do. I always wanted a little girl. What? So just because you didn't want another boy, you raised him as a girl. It's implied that Peter or Angela was affected in a negative way by seeing the dad with the man. But I was like, when they saw it, they were like sniggling a little bit. So I was like, I don't know. I think she was just confused.
Yeah.
Because you're a boy, but you're being raised as a girl and you like this other boy, but he doesn't know you're a boy. And it's like, I think she was just, see, now I'm getting confused. I think he was just confused. Angela was confused.
Yeah.
So I guess that could be seen as a negative.
And I mean, being, I think, introduced to sex at such a young age, too, is probably also confused. Yeah. There were probably many factors that went into why she felt like that.
Yeah. The movie ends with Angela nude and covered in blood with her... I was going to say it like New York because she always say Jenna Natalia with male genitalia, full frontal.
Full frontal.
Standing in front of Susie and Ronnie and the noise she was making. I was like, what? That's why I was like, why is your mouth open? First of all, like she was like, her mouth was like wide open. And then like, you have to see
hair.
It because I can't even, I cannot describe the noise.
What's crazy is because I've seen so many like top 10 lists or top 20 lists is I've seen that iconic scene. Of course, they don't show like the full frontal. It's just like her face. She's covered in blood. Her hair is all crazy. You see the mouth wide open. And as soon as I saw it, I said, that's what the heck this is from. Oh, my freaking God. I could not even contain my level of excitement. I was like, oh my gosh. And wait, what's crazy is Tristan, my best friend, her husband, I don't know if he's just not like a huge fan of, he's like big on like storyline and a good plot. And so like, he's not really into a lot of scary films or like slasher films because of that reason. When we started, he didn't watch it with us. He didn't like, he started and I was like, well, I'm about to go do something else. Cause he was like, it's always like predictable and they always kind of have the same storyline. I'm not into it. He came back and watched the end half of the movie. As soon as it freaking happened, he was like, I'm gonna have to retract my earlier statement. I said, I know, right? I said, this is what they were talking about. this was the hype that I was looking for prom night that I didn't quite get. I got that in this. I was like, oh my God, I can't wait. I can't wait to do this review.
Man, I don't know, because I watched it the first time I saw it. I watched it. It was like maybe like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
How old were you?
This was when we were at the intro, like when we first moved to the intro.
Oh, so you were an adult.
That was the first time I saw it. Yeah. But I just know that that sound stuck with me, and her face and the sound like stuck with me. And I was like, what did I just watch?
Just what did I just watch? Give her the Oscar right now.
I know.
What? I know. I was like, bruh.
Legend.
Kudos. Kudos.
Yes.
R.I.P. Felissa Rose.
Yes.
Felissa Rose. The whole damn, it's everybody just.
Yes. Good job with this. And then it's like, with this movie, you don't really mind the bad acting, because it's like, I think it's the only one that threw me off was the aunt, because like I said, it seemed like she has like a theater background. Mm-hmm. And it was just, the movie in itself is extra, but she was just extra.
She was so extra. Another boy just simply won't do.
And then her voice, her the heavy makeup, like, I was like, who is this woman? What else? Like, is she in anything else?
Girl.
Yeah. But good movie. Good plot twist.
Good movie. Good freaking plot twist. Plot twist. Because
you were
see
expecting, the plot twist to be who the killer was.
Yes.
That's what you expected the plot twist to be. But then you get hit with that and it's like, what? And then you start thinking about everything else, about how she wouldn't swim, how she wouldn't get in the shower with everybody else, stuff like that.
Yeah, it all made sense. I was like, dang.
Yeah.
And then, the physical thing, because like I said, I didn't even, by the end of the first time that I watched it, I still didn't even get that. Then I heard her say it the second time and was like, oh, that's why she had to like basically forge their physical signatures.
Yeah.
Signatures. Girl. This is crazy. Mm. It was crazy. It was inventive. I see why it is a cult class.
Yeah. I'm glad you agree this time.
Oh my God. I can't even. I recommend it. 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Like for back then, for like the 80s, and I'll even throw in the 90s. I don't know if I know a movie with that big of a plot twist to where it's like, when did M. Night Shyamalan start making movies?
Maybe late 90s, early 2000s. But yeah, I was going to say probably not until that cycle of movie. Like not until like 90s. Yeah. Because I mean, I guess Scream had a good plot twist. But that was the kill. It still had a lot to do with the killers.
Yeah.
Sorry, not like, oh, and this. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Any more final thoughts before we do ratings?
Oh, I wanted to say, like as far as like who the killer was, because the scene with Judy and the curling iron, they actually showed the killer, like you could see the face, but you still couldn't make out who it was. And I was like, I like how they shot that, because I'm like, you could clearly see the face, but you still couldn't really tell who it was. When she walked through the door, I was like, because I paused it. I was like trying to see if I could recognize.
Yeah, I agree.
And I was like,
they did a good job the whole time, though. That's why, like, at first, I didn't think it was Angela, because the features that they kept showing, like when they showed like the hand, I was like, that's a boy. Yeah. That's a man.
And again.
Because
she's,
Something else happened and I was like, okay, well, maybe it is Angela. And then when she was like, meet me on the beach, I was like, okay, well, maybe it's not Angela. I don't know. There was a whole just like, who is it? Is it Ricky or Angela?
Yeah.
Or is it Martha? Child. Oh, I was going to say too, one more thing about Martha. I feel like they maybe had her play it up like that because kind of like a mad scientist, demented type of person, I think would do something like that. So she had to be,
that,
I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Like that.
That makes sense.
It's just crazy though, but okay, movie ratings.
You go first.
No.
Since you've never seen it, this was your first time seeing it.
What did we give? What's the highest that we've given so far? I should write it in.
I think the highest, I know, I think, I want to say I gave something a 4.
Was it? Krampus and Halloween got some pretty high scores from us.
Yeah. It may have been.
Like a 3. We gave something a 3.5.
I think I gave, I'm trying to remember what I gave Prom Night. Because I think I rated Halloween higher than Prom Night. So I may have given Prom Night a 3.
Okay. Out of 5. Okay. Ooh, maybe I will give it. And I'm thinking solely, because like I said, I think about like the rewatchability, how I felt watching it, whether or not I would recommend it, and just like, yeah, like plot twists and stuff like that. Like, was it inventive for the time period? I'm going to have to give that thing maybe a 4.5 because
look at you.
I truly had a good time watching it. Like, even when I watched it back, because I watched it 3 times, even when I watched it back a 3rd time, I thoroughly enjoyed this. And like, I feel like the writing was good. I feel like it was inventive to have a plot twist like that in the 80s to show a full frontal of male genitalia in the 80s.
Yeah.
The only reason why I wouldn't give it a 5 is some of like the acting, like some of it, I was kind of just like, meh. But now I'm thinking, okay, well, that's the 80s. And it was a little offensive.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or maybe I'm just really trying not to give it a 5. What would you give it?
I don't think I would give it a 5.
Okay.
I would give it. I don't even think 4.5, probably like 4.2, 4.3 in that area.
If this was the 80s and we watched it in the 80s, would you still give it a 4.23?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like that's pretty high.
No, it is really high. I'm wondering like what would get a 5. I guess we'll have to figure out as we go.
And then each time I watched it, something different, like I caught something different. So it's like, it's because it's a lot to unpack, but
it's a lot.
But again, that's a movie that I can watch anytime,
girl.
And yeah,
I was like, I'm gonna have a party during the summer one day. A sleepover. We're gonna have a sleepover. We're gonna watch Sleepaway Camp.
Yes.
So you said a 4.2 or 4.3? Give it a 4.3.
I'd say 4.3.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to stick behind the 4.5 because, yeah, my only complaints were some of the acting stuff. And then I was kind of like, oh, like the scene with Judy, I kind of was like, oh.
Yeah.
Even though it was just implied. But then
if you think about it, it was, yeah, because they never showed anything. But if you think about it, movies now show way worse.
No, I know, but I would probably rate them really low. I probably would rate them a little bit lower if I felt like.
Because I think now, a lot of movies are focused on like shock, like the shock value more than like the actual like plot and all that.
Yes, so I felt like that. Like I get the psychology behind probably why they did that, but for me, it felt like shock value, and it felt like it was in poor taste. Like I didn't think they needed to do that to Judy. Like I get that she was promiscuous, but I really didn't like it.
I didn't either, because I think they were trying to like show, because she was making fun of Angela for not hitting puberty and being you know, so I guess that's why they chose to have her death like that. But still, you got to remember that these are supposed to be kids. So, that one was a lot. Because, like, you could even hear, like, even, I think that stuck with me, too, because you could hear, like, the sizzle.
Yeah, you could.
And I was like, yeah.
And then her screams. I was like.
Screaming, yeah.
If I would watch that as a kid, it would have traumatized me. Which it was. You ain't supposed to be watching it as a kid, but you know how parents are.
Man.
Another fun fact. So I think I'm missing some of my comments. It's Felissa, right? Felissa Rose.
Mm-hmm.
She, when the movie came out, she was 13, or when she filmed the movie, she was only 13. So when the movie was released, she was not even able to go to her own like premiere. She couldn't go to the movies to watch it because I believe that it was rated R.
I mean, it should have been.
Yeah, it should have been. It should have been. Language alone.
I know. Mainly from Ricky.
Yeah, from Ricky. Ricky!
And then another thing, that one little thing, I just feel like I'm nitpicking, but it just irritated me because I could tell that they used the same voiceover. Like anytime she would get mad and he would be like, Angela! Angela.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of got on my nerves a little bit, because I'm like, it sounds exactly the same.
Yeah.
They could have had him say it different.
I'm just talking up to the 1980s.
Yeah.
On Rotten Tomatoes, so we have a 4.3 coming from Dia, 4.5 coming from me. Rotten Tomatoes gives this thing 81%. Oh. It is a ripe tomato. The audience score got a 60%, so it's still like not bad, above half, so it's not bad. IMDb out of 10 gives it a 6.2. Google, okay. the Google ratings gives it a 4.2 out of 5. So we weren't too far off.
Yeah.
Amazon gives it a 4.6 out of 5. The Amazon users really love it, which that is for like a newer audience. So I think like a lot of us are just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where did this come from? Come on, 80s, come through 80s.
It could just be because I'm older. Like I said, I prefer slashers from back then to what's out today.
Yeah.
Because I could probably count on one hand. Yeah. It's just, that's what I was saying, like they're more focused on gore and all, and I'm like, you don't need all that.
But okay, that was a sleepaway camp summer. If you have kitties, think twice about sending them to sleepaway camp.
Please follow us on Instagram at It's a Strange World Podcast, Twitter at Pod Strange World, and on Facebook and TikTok at It's a Strange World After All. Also, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and like the show, please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're feeling extra strange, please write a review. Please and thank you.
If you have any movies or documentaries of the horror, thriller, slasher, true crime genre and want to hear our uncensored, unsolicited opinions on them, email those submissions to itsastrangeworldafterall@gmail.com or DM us at any other social media platforms that you mentioned.
Oh, and August, we're each going to pick a movie from the year we were born.
Yeah, buddy.
So,
and again, that's horror, thriller, slasher, or true crime.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of
It's a Strange World After All. And thank you, as always, for keeping it just a little extra strange in this bonus episode with us.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Hey, yo, strangers, why are you so fucked up? No, I'm just kidding.